The reading is in the Epistle to the Philippians, and chapter 4, in the first few verses there. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Odias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I treat thee also, true York fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the message I have tonight is a lovely text, but nevertheless, it can also be a very searching one. I found it so myself. And it's verse 4 in chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Now, it's a command. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. As we are familiar with now, that the apostle here is writing to the Christian church at Philippi, a Christian church in a proud Roman city. It wasn't easy for them. And I'm sure there are many, many problems to crop up because of the attitude of the pride of the city. This epistle is often called the Epistle of Joy. And you may wonder, might not be aware, but you also may be aware. Verse 1, verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. 1:18, I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. 1:26, that your rejoicing may be found more abundant. Chapter 2, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy. 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of the Christ. 2:17, I joy and rejoice with you all. 2:18, but for the same cause also do we joy and rejoice with me. 2:28, you may rejoice. 3 verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. 3 verse 3, and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And our text, 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. I hadn't realized, you know, there were so many references to the word joy there. And he's asking us to do this always, and it's a command. And you might say, well, how can we do that? How can we always rejoice in such a world as ours, with all the ups and downs and difficulties that can be in our personal lives? But he's telling us to rejoice always. And we might say, well, this is in our own strength. This is quite impossible. But he's asking them to do it. He's asking them to do something that is really, it sounds so easy, but it's really quite impossible in our own strength. Previously, he asked us to put past memories behind us, our sufferings, our persecution, death, that it would be there particularly, could make a long list there, that circumstances should not affect us. Now then, that's a very hard one to say, isn't it? That circumstances should not affect us, not alone. Our joy is determined by our condition of heart and mind in the Lord. A Christian can be joyful within, when without all, in his own heart, I mean now, when without, all is dark and dreary. It's possible for a Christian, says Paul, for us to rejoice, even when there seems to be, looking round, no cause or no reason to be able to rejoice. And it's based really on this oneness with Christ. It says here, if you remember, and the fruit of the Spirit is joy. It says this mysterious union that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. In him we have forgiveness of sins. In him we have peace. With him we have trusted. It is a mysterious union. One hymn puts it like this: I lift my heart to thee, Saviour divine, for thou art all to me, and I am thine. Is there a closer bond than this, that my beloved is mine, and I am his? In the light of our relationship that we are in Christ, he commands us to rejoice. Also in 1 verse 20, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, that you will glorify Christ by rejoicing in every circumstance. So that's roughly the picture that we have now. Now, joy in proclamation of the gospel. Paul rejoices in the gospel. He shows in the epistle the great purpose of God. In verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, that's our Saviour now, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even the death of the cross. This is the amazing thing that happened. The humiliation, the sacrifice, the determination of our Lord in obedience to the Trinity. He comes down, and his obedience to the law of God and his fulfilling also our failure on the cross. And when we by faith approach him and come into that relationship, we are in Christ. Now that's our basis really, and that should give us joy in itself. Paul had himself proved and desired the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, if you remember. He put it like this: he had desired the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And we should all desire that. It's real in his experience. In chapter 3, verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That is, sin again, we are found in Christ, not having our own unrighteousness, but now robed in the righteousness of Christ. And this knowledge and this experience should be our primary cause of joy. It should be. Because when you think of it, and all the many efforts by men, whether it's personal or collectively, when they have sought peace with God, or whatever they think God is, they cannot get that peace. But we are able to say, if we have this, and we believe this, then it is the greatest thing in this world, greater than any persecution, greater than any difficulty, greater than all these things. For example, in Romans 8:28, for the Christian, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, it's a similar kind of thing. Always rejoice, all things work together for good. Are we willing to accept that? Are we willing to agree? I'm sure. But are we willing to say, well, I accept that in my life, that the ups and downs and the difficulties, they have all worked together for good. It's a hard one, but nevertheless, it says that. It's a very beautiful verse, but a very searching one too. Now that we have now the grand truth. Therefore, being just in Romans 5, beginning of the chapter, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's where we are. We're justified by faith. Therefore, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but also glory. That's a strange one. As a result, and not only so, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. A remarkable verse. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, because we are justified. And not only so, but also glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So we set our gaze upon our Lord, and there is our hope and our joy. In all our circumstances, whatever we are, we look up and look to him and call on him. He shares with us also in this epistle, showing that his joy is constant. In Philippians 1, 12 to 18, some of the verses there. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. That is, his scourging, his imprisonment, and all these things that have happened to me have really had the effect of advancing the gospel. It has been for that great purpose. His faith is remarkable. The advantage of this. In verse 11, for I have learnt in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. All related, aren't they? You know, I have learnt. I ought to be a little bit envious of that. If he had said, I am learning, it would have been a help, I think. But yet it's an inspiration when he said, well, if I can, you can. It's the same Saviour. I have learnt in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. My next little point is joy in supplication when we ask him. We are able to come to a throne of grace, and we are able to come there. You know, there's nothing complicated about it. In Hebrews 4, verse 6, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's very lovely. Mercy and grace are forthcoming at the throne of grace. We must get there. We must go there. We must be willing to go there. And we must be really willing to talk to God rather than to ourselves, that we may receive mercy and grace. Now, there are problems. You might say, well, they're insurmountable. Chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says here, I can do all things. It's a tremendous thing to be able to say, you know. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Where do you get the strength from, Paul? Well, through Christ. How did you bear that whipping? Through Christ. How did you suffer the cruel mocking and the imprisonment? Through Christ. It's not I can do some things. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. All things, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. He said, here's a warm verse for you. He said, now look, are you worried? Yes, I'm still a bit worried. I'm anxious. I like that. It's very good. But I'm failing there, Father. Now look, he said, venture on me. Take a risk now, a spiritual risk. And venture on me, and I will supply all you need. The verse goes like this, but my God shall supply all your need, how much? According to his riches in glory. So I say, will he help me a lot or a little? No, he'll help you all that you require, over and above what you ever dreamt or thought. Those are his words here. So with joy we come to him, that he will enter into our situation. That's the thing, isn't it? So here's a hard situation we're going into. And he's saying, well, you go there, I'll enter in with you. And I will supply you with mercy and truth and strength. And all the strength you require, I will supply you with that. Now, what is the secret? In chapter 1, verse 21, he says, for me, do you know it? To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, to be able to say that, to my great advantage, is to be with Christ. But willing to stay here for the benefit of the gospel. And he said, my very life, the only sense or purpose in my life is that I live for him, that he is everything to me, in his mind, in his heart, and all. That is his secret. The source of joy is God. You're all familiar, aren't you, with, you see now, I say 801, and you know straight away what I'm talking about. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving is only begun. His love has no limits. Isn't that wonderful? His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. So he said, in the light of all that, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. There may be nothing in your circumstances to cause you to rejoice, but your joy does not depend upon your circumstances. It's on your relationship with our Lord and our God. So in his preaching, in his tribulation, every part of his life, he rejoiced. He rejoiced in the Lord. How often? Always. Always. You might say, well, I've done my share of rejoicing. I'm going through a hard time now. Always. All the days of our life, rejoice in the Lord. Do not look back. We have this in this epistle. Neither look round. You're running a race. Then what shall I do? Look unto the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's a lovely verse, a difficult verse, a challenging verse, but a precious verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice.